I'm writing this on August 11th, when according to the sun, we still have almost 6 weeks of summer. But that hot, glowing ball of hydrogen and helium is 93 million miles away, much too far for even the savviest yellow dwarf star to have a clue about what's happening here in Minnesota, where summer is pretty much over. Many days the air quality has been too poor for me to stay outside long, but when I can, I like to sit out on my patio with my patio camera. It has a 200 to 800 millimeter lens, so it's way too heavy for me to hold steady, much less lug around when I'm walking, but it's perfect when I'm on my patio watching birds in the back of my yard. Feathers on most songbirds are designed to last about a year. Many species molt in late summer after they're done with the arduous and energy-intensive work of producing and raising babies. Now, August's rich supply of berries and insects give them the nutrients they need to grow all new feathers and lay on fat in preparation for migration. During most of the year, if a bird loses its tail feathers to a predator or accident, replacement feathers grow in rapidly. But last summer, one of my backyard catbirds lost all its tail feathers during the time it was feeding nestlings. With no nutrients to spare, it didn't start growing new tail feathers until its young were getting most of their own food, making it easy to recognize that bird for a couple of weeks. Catbirds have rusty undertail coverts, but those feathers were not at all covert without a tail to obscure them from above. When the bird's babies got good at finding meals on their own, the tail grew back in a matter of days. Some birds shed old feathers, especially on the head, before they can consume enough nutrients to grow new ones. Bald blue jays and cardinals grow new head feathers as soon as their young no longer need food subsidies. Bald or not, during the time that parent birds are giving the lion's share of the food they find to their young, their old feathers grow increasingly ragged. For a few weeks more, we'll still be able to recognize some adults by their messy plumage, but one by one, they'll finish molting and become as stunning as the progeny they sacrificed for. My pair of backyard crows nested somewhere else in the neighborhood this year. Crow nestlings are loud, but I never heard these at all until after they fledged when the parents started bringing the four chicks here. The whole family of six packs into my tray feeder when I bring out peanuts and whistle. But a couple of weeks ago, I started noticing that one of the molting parents looked not just bedraggled, but outright sick. It didn't want to be caught, so I trusted that it knew what was best. But what with bird flu, West Nile virus, and whatever other diseases may be around, I was pretty nervous when I'd see it alone in my yard, hunched over a branch as if it might topple over at any moment. But when the rest of the family was here, it joined them. Back when I was living with my education Eastern screech owl, Archimedes, I saw that as he got older, he got very lethargic every summer during his own molting period, and he didn't have to provide for hungry chicks. When he died at age 18, it was during that summer molt. I was pretty sure this poor crow would follow suit, but nope. In the past couple of days, it seems to have passed the crisis point and is perky again. Thistle seeds are abundant right now. American goldfinches use them along with the soft downy seeds of dandelions, milkweed, and other plants as both food and building materials, eating the kernel while using the fine strands of silky down to weave their watertight nest. Even as many birds are done raising chicks for the year, goldfinches are still building nests, laying eggs, or feeding tiny nestlings. They won't molt until much later in the season. My little stand of native thistle has been a goldfinch magnet for a couple of weeks. They'll eat just about any thistle seeds, but the burrs on the bigger non-native species are dangerous for them and other birds. Invasive non-native thistle plants should always be removed. If you don't want to deal with such spiny weeds now that they're huge and especially prickly, at least cut off the flowers before they go to seed, wrap them and discard them in the garbage, not your compost. Remember to get rid of the whole plant by next spring. Our society has made it increasingly difficult for birds to survive. Every action we take to make our own backyard, our neighborhood, and the larger world even a little safer won't turn the tide, but will make the lives of some of those birds easier. They deserve it. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.